What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?
Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching Podcast, where I introduce you to the people that can help you on your parenting, teaching, or leadership journey. And today, it's going to be a solo episode, and I'm actually just going to talk about a topic. The person I'm going to introduce you to today is me. But before I do, talk about this topic of the difference of being passive versus aggressive versus being assertive, is I want to remind you that I have a Patreon where you can get one-on-one coaching with me through www.patreon.com/Mr. Chaz. And I have lots of different tier levels to fit your different needs for your different families. And this session is me meeting you where you're at, understanding you and your family or your classroom, and then offering some usable advice and recommendations that can help you progress on your journey, solve some of the problems that you just don't know how to solve. But if you want to learn more about it, message me on Instagram or send me an email. But let's jump right into the conversation today. Again, it's going to be a little bit different. Let's talk about passivity first. And this is really interesting because most teachers, they come in the field and, you know, I'll ask them, like, so why are you here? What do you want to, you know, like, why do you want to work with kids? Like, you're not going to get paid a lot here. You could be working at Walmart stocking cans on the shelf and use a lot less energy, and it won't be as difficult, and you'll be getting paid the same, or maybe in a lot of cases, some cases even more. So why are you working here? And a lot of people say, it's because I like kids, because I like kids. And so a lot of times these people will start off very passively, especially if they haven't had any experience with kids or a lot of experience with kids in a group care setting, or particularly if they haven't been a parent yet. They'll start off very passive. And people who start off passive, their intent a lot of times is to try to please the children. And so they will use a lot of language and their tone that is in a very pleasing kind of mentality. And I'll talk a little bit more. I'm actually going to use a little bit of information from the Conscious Discipline, Building Resilient Classrooms book. And because I think this will help a lot of people out there, you know, just listening to this podcast episode, figure out how they can better give children instructions, how they can better guide children. And also, if you want to purchase the book, you have a little bit of an idea of how, what is in the book. And you can also, if you want to purchase it, you can get free shipping on the book if you use my promo code, MrChaz2022. But that's only going to be available for the next couple of months. Probably the end of October, it will not be available anymore. So you have a limited time to actually get the book with free shipping. Anyways, passivity. Let's give some examples of what passivity actually looks like and sounds like. So a passive person typically will ask a child to accomplish an intermediate but non-specific task. So they'll try to be nice. So they'll say, try to be nice, try your best to clean up, try to follow direction a little bit better. A passive person questions the child about his or her behavior. Questions don't really give usable information. When you ask them, you know, like, why are you doing this? Like, why, you know, aren't you cleaning up? Why aren't you listening to me? It doesn't really give them usable information in which they can follow your directions. So that's not really being assertive. It's just being passive. A passive person does not follow through on consequences and will adjust the events to accommodate the child's emotions. So they'll say something like, okay, once more, but then it's time to stop. I'm warning you, just one more outburst, just one more time. And again, the intent is to try to please the child rather than trying to give them usable information for them to be successful in whatever your expectation is. A passive person gives their power away to the child, putting the child in charge. So an example might be something, they'll say something, when you're ready, I'll begin. Okay, let me finish here and I'll help you. A passive person holds the child responsible for his anger or her anger and out of control behavior. You're making me send you to timeout. Don't make me take that paper away. Or some examples of what a passive teacher might say. So here, I'm going to read a little bit. And again, this is from the Conscious Discipline Building Resilient Classrooms book. I'm going to read what a passive teacher in action might actually sound like. Mrs. Lee announces it is cleanup time. Her 2-minute warning elicits a few whines, so she extends her warning to 5 minutes. She waits as long as possible to sing her cleanup song and to help those who are having trouble. Ella, it's time to clean up now, okay? Ella busily puts the blocks on the shelf. Cody, try to put all the same toys in the same bin, okay? Allison asks for assistance, and Mrs. Lee replies, let me finish here, I'll be over in a minute. Mrs. Lee walks around the room one last time to help the stragglers. Marcus, are you ready for circle time? Marcus continues to paint. Mrs. Lee, now a bit frustrated, asks, what time is it, Marcus? Where should you be? What should you be doing? Marcus ignores Mrs. Lee, and she feels frustrated and powerless. Some of the children who had gone to circle are starting to horse around. Mrs. Lee shouts, Marcus, stop right now. Don't make me send you to timeout. Marcus continues painting. I'm warning you, this is not very nice behavior. Why are you doing this? Mrs. Lee demonstrates all the behaviors of a passive teacher. At the beginning, she changes her time limit to accommodate the whining of a few children, putting her need to avoid conflict above the children's need for useful information and clearly stated expectations. She then repeatedly puts the children in charge through comments like, Ella, it's time to clean up. Okay. Okay implies the children have the choice to comply. She asks Cody to accomplish a non-specific goal. Try to clean up gives her her power away without repercussion until Marcus. When Mrs. Lee gives Marcus a choice about being ready for circle, he opts out to continue painting. She makes statements that fail to provide usable information. What time is it? And where should you be? These non-action questions confuse Marcus and aggravate Mrs. Lee into threatening, don't make me send you to timeout. Mrs. Lee's make-me language blames Marcus for her passive choices and sends the message that Marcus is in charge of her decision. Mrs. Marcus unconsciously models irresponsibility, gives her powers away, and then finds it difficult to regain her power. So this is what a passive person kind of sounds like. And one of the big things there is, you know, we do a lot is it's the tone too. It's not even just the words. It's the okay. Like is it like, hey, I'm telling you to do this thing. Okay. Like is this okay for me? Is it okay for you to be cleaning up as opposed to when it isn't an option? Right, when it's an expectation that you have and it isn't a choice, right? And a lot of times it's confusing for children because it's like we're making it a choice, but then when they don't comply, we're like, it's not a choice, right? When we were kind of giving the implication that it was a choice. Some things are going to be choices, but we should also be very clear about that if it's a choice or if it's not going to be a choice. Now, what I see a lot of times with parents and with teachers, a lot of times we'll start off passive and then we'll go to aggressive, just like Mrs. Lee did in this. So I'm going to talk about aggression next, and then we'll talk about assertiveness, which is like right in the middle where you want to be, which is most effective for children, and a lot of times also for adults. And again, this is only one skill. This is only a part of the skill that I'm talking about. If you want to learn more, then get the book, Conscious Discipline, Building Resilient Classrooms by Dr. Becky Bailey. And the parent version of this book is Easy to Love, Difficult to Discipline. If you go to the Conscious Discipline website and you order it, again, you can get a free shipping with my promo code MrChaz2022. So aggression. Aggressive communication aims to win by overpowering. And it's winning, but a lot of times people who use this approach won't necessarily say like, oh, I won this battle, this power struggle. They'll just say that like it worked, right? You know, an aggressive teacher will typically use statements like, you always interrupt me, these kind of absolutes. And a lot of times we even do this in our interpersonal relationships too. So pay attention, as I'm, you know, I might say in this about teachers, but also pay attention about how you communicate with your friends, with your, you know, spouse, with your coworkers, with your employees. So think about this. You know, the you, me statements focus on the other person instead of the problem, the thing that we're actually trying to solve. If a teacher says, you hurt me, a child feels attacked. If a teacher says, I feel hurt, no attack is implied, right? You're telling like what you feel as opposed to putting it on the child, like, I feel hurt, right? Because you, me statements focus on the person. The recipient generally feels they must respond defensively. With adults, we call the resulting exchange an argument. With children, we call it talking back. Aggressive people often speak for others and act as mind readers. You know, they'll describe the other person's viewpoint. Often, when we try to describe the other person's viewpoint, we're not even we're often incorrect. We're guessing, but we're often wrong, but we act as if we are. It is the absolute truth. So we'll say things like, you know, you think you can get away with acting like that in my class? You better think again. Aggressive people also use words like always and never as forms of attack. You never remember your lunch money. You always put off big projects. With such extreme statements, we suggest the child is all good or all bad. By generalizing, we teach children to generalize about themselves and others. They may grow up saying things like, I never do things well, or all computer wizards are nerds, right? These kind of blanket statements that we think about people. And this also goes into when we think about you know, different groups of people, you know, like all black people are this, all Asian people are this, all white people are that, right? We are really kind of reinforcing these blanket statements by the way that we communicate to children and also communicate to each other. You know, this has implications beyond the classroom, beyond the household. It has implications in our implicit biases too, and how they're formed in our mental models. So this is what an aggressive teacher in action might sound like. Miss Wall is having a rough day. She sees three children spraying each other at the water fountain and shouts, what are you doing by that water fountain? How many times have I told you to stay in your seats? You never listen. Laura tries to explain to the teacher, saying, Miss Wall, Carrie has a cut on. Miss Wall interrupts. You're just using Carrie as an excuse to make a mess and get out of doing your work. But Miss Wall, whines Tara, don't you talk back to me, young lady. Now get to work before I put your name on the board. You think you can do whatever you want, but you're wrong. I'm in charge of the classroom, and you're keeping other children from learning, Miss Wall says. As the children drag themselves back to their seats, Miss Wall begins to threaten them. You don't have to act like that. You ought to be grateful I don't send you to the principal. Miss Wall demonstrated most of the characteristics of aggressive people. She spoke for others, often wrongly describing their viewpoints instead of expressing her own thoughts and feelings. You're just using Carrie as an excuse to get out of work and make a mess in the classroom. She used words like always and never and you never listen. She viewed others as attacking her. Don't you talk back to me, young lady. She used punitive threats. Now get back to work before I put your name on the board. She made you statements that focus on other people and not the problem. You, me accusations leave a child feeling attacked. And although Miss Wall did not act in these two following ways that aggressive people also often do, imposing consequences that are overly severe, like, you know, detention for 2 weeks, or you're never going to get this back, or you're grounded for the rest of the month, or you're never going to see your phone again, or I brought you into this world, I can take you out. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And physically responding to children out of anger, such as shaking, squeezing the child's arm, jerking, or even hitting or spanking the child, or paddling the child, right? These are all things that we do to children. And yes, paddling is illegal, or is legal in the United States in, I want to say it's about 17, 19 different states. I think most of the states are in the South. Don't quote me on that number, but just know it's not just one or two states that allow paddling of children. Just because they don't have, you know, and teachers often go to these aggressive measures because they don't have the skills of what I'm about to talk about right now of assertiveness. They will use passiveness or aggressiveness, and they think that these are the only two choices. And so, you know, my hope is that as we put more tools in the tool belt of teachers, of parents, that they can use the skill of assertiveness and not rely so much on aggression or even being passive. But it takes time, it takes practice, because most of us were conditioned, we were raised with aggression, or some of us may have been raised with, you know, passivity, or maybe a mixture of both, you know, passive until they get aggressive. And that is just not effective communication. So we want to teach people how to communicate more clearly and more effectively so they don't feel like they have to resort to violence and these aggressive means. You know, teachers do it, parents do it, just like children do it. And we often will get on children and wag our finger or put them in detention or put them in a seclusion room or a padded room and exclude them from everyone to try to solve the problem, but that often will just exacerbate the problem and also reinforce in them these aggressive tendencies, as opposed to reinforcing this assertive tendency that I'm going to talk about right now. And one last note on aggression is that any statement about the other person rather than one of the feelings or thoughts tends to have an attacking quality. And when we attack, the natural response for the other person is to get defensive. And when someone's defensive, they're not open to collaborating and working together and figuring things out. So assertiveness. The goals of assertiveness is clear communication that paints a picture of what we want others to do. It has a voice of tone of no doubt, and it comes from an intention of helping children be successful instead of making them behave. When we communicate assertively, we make straightforward statements about feelings, thoughts, and wishes. It is assertive to say, "I want pizza today." It is not assertive to quiz others, "What would you like?" You know, or think for them, "You probably want Chinese food like always," or try to control them. "Everyone loves pizza. Why don't you?" To be assertive, we must concentrate on ourselves instead of focusing on what others might feel, think, say, or do in response. We cannot set limits and take care of other people's feelings at the same time. And keep in mind, this assertiveness is just one of the skills that you're going to use at any given time. And you want to use it you know, you use these skills at discretion. You know, you, I'm going to teach you these skills, and you know, as you practice these skills, you're going to find out different situations. You're going to look at the situation, and depending on the situation, depending on the moment, you're going to pick out the skill or multiple skills that would be most effective at that time. Assertiveness isn't always the best skill to focus on in the moment. Sometimes it'll be focusing on empathy. Sometimes it'll be focusing on choices, right? Sometimes it'll be focusing on composure. And sometimes it'll be focusing on positive intent. And sometimes, you know, generally after all the other skills are focused on over a period of time, sometimes we may even use consequences. But, you know, we're not going to talk about that today, but that's going to be the last thing we talk about, because before we even get to consequences, you have to learn all these other skills, because you're not going to be able to effectively implement consequences if you don't have these other skills down. Like one of my colleague, Latoria, who also works in conscious discipline, something she says that I love, she puts it very plain and simple. If your heart ain't right, you ain't going to do it right. You know, if your heart ain't right with consequences, you're not going to do consequences right. I think that's actually one of the more difficult skills to implement in a healthy, effective way, you know, in the right way. Most of us will do consequences, but we'll do it in, you know, an aggressive way, right? Or in a way that is not effective, that is not helpful at all. So I actually think consequences is one of the most difficult skills to use, because it requires you to use all the other skills effectively and have all those other skills down. So I'm not even going to talk about consequences yet, but we'll get there. Let's get back to assertiveness. And let's actually talk about what an assertive teacher in action may look like and sound like. So Grace seems to have trouble staying on task. During open house, Mrs. Canpite observes Grace and her mother. Mom repeatedly attempts to get Grace's attention by saying, "Grace, please look at me. I am talking. Grace, are you listening to me? Grace, do you hear me? I'm not going to speak to you again. Grace." She's being passive. Mom's being passive here, right? You hear that? You hear it? Mom then gets frustrated, grabs Grace's arm, lectures her on respect and listening. Now we're getting to the aggression. Mrs. Canpipe approaches Grace differently. She walks over, gets down on eye level with her. She waits for Grace to notice her and makes eye contact before beginning to speak. With a firm voice, she says, "Grace, take your mother's hand. It is time to go home. I look forward to seeing you at school tomorrow." Mrs. Canpite waits for Grace to make any motion toward her mother and quickly says, "You did it. You looked for your mom so you could find her hand." And that last little bit was using the skill of encouragement. It's, again, a lot of these skills you can use in tandem. We haven't gotten to that yet. We haven't gotten to encouragement yet. Assertiveness clearly tells children what to do so they may successfully meet our expectations. Assertiveness requires us to do the following. Visually give children usable information by telling them what to do, and by painting a picture of expected behaviors. So assertive might sound like, sit down and turn your head side to side to see if you and your friends have enough space. Non-assertive might sound like, don't sit too close to each other. Sit nicely with your friends. Notice children's behaviors is another thing that you do when you're assertive, being assertive. So you can notice children's behaviors by using descriptive language that clearly communicates a desired goal without judgment. Assertive might sound like, Miguel sat down and opened his science book to page 41 and is looking for his pencil. Non-assertive might sound like, good job, Miguel. I see you are almost ready. Send the nonverbal message of, just do it. This is the tone of no doubt, right? This is that confidence that we're sending, the tone of like, this is not a choice. This is what it is, you know. And that might sound like, as I have been using certain, you may notice that when I said, sit down and turn your head side to side to see if your friends have enough space. There's confidence in my voice. It's telling them what to do. It's not a question. And so when you use a clear command and nonverbal message of no doubt, it creates a sense of safety and allows many children to let down their guard and obey our commands and to listen to our commands. There are going to be times where we are communicating things where we need to be assertive and we need them to listen, especially when it comes to things like safety. So that is what we are going to do. So really pay attention to tone for that. And be conscious of the intent behind your communication. The intent behind assertive communication is clarity. Your intent behind the words is more powerful than your actual choice of words. You're not being assertive if your intent is to avoid conflict, being passive, or to make a child or get a child to obey. Aggressive. When you shift your intent to a heartfelt, really genuine desire for children to be successful, your clarity will shine and disobedience will decline. So if your real intention is for them to be successful, and that's the reason why you are giving the clear commands with no doubt, you're noticing children's behaviors, you're giving them usable information with the intent for them to be successful as opposed for them to obey, then the irony in that is that they are more likely to obey, right? They're more likely to listen to your command. Because children can feel that when it's just a power thing and when you're just really trying to help them be successful. So just to kind of overview all of this, that, you know, the passive intent is to avoid conflict through pleasing. Passive tone is asking permission, you know, like, are you going to do okay? Like, it's time to clean up, okay? Right? That you see my voice get a little higher, like, it's time to clean up, okay? Right? That's the kind of ask permission, you know, it gives away power. And, you know, it's confusing and you don't really give them any usable information, anything for them to do. Aggressive avoids conflict through dominating. It's got a tone of or else, right? It is power that you're trying to take power away from others. And it's often attacking, you know, the information we're giving is often an attacking information. And again, not usable information. Assertive, it's clarity. You know, the intent is clarity and for the children to be successful. The tone is no doubt. It's confidence, the confident momentum. The power comes from with us. It's our power, right? It's not, we're not trying to take children's power away. We are tapping into our own power. It's our power of our intention of what we are really, you know, our focus on what we want to happen, on us putting a lot of attention on what we want to happen. It's kind of the whole thing of telling them what to do instead of what not to do, right? Focusing on what to do instead of what not to do. It is very direct expression. So that is, you know, I'm going to kind of stop right there. Because I don't want to, I think this is a good, it's a lot of information to take in. I really want you to listen to it, you know, over and over again. This is something that a lot of people struggle with. This is a skill that I still work on, too. You know, sometimes I can get into passive mode. It is easy. It's become a lot easier for me to recognize when I'm being aggressive, or kind of getting into that aggression. And that often happens when I am being too passive and I'm using too much passivity. And so, like, if we go from one extreme to the other, as opposed to starting with assertiveness, or starting with the usable information, starting with the telling them what to do and being really clear on it. And one thing I'll add to this, especially with, you know, when we're talking about young children, is that you really need to meet them where they're at with the usable information, what you're telling them what to do, right? You know, you're telling them to, if you're telling like a toddler to stand, you know, stand still with their, you know, hands by their side, not touching anything. Again, with not touching anything, they're not really giving them, that's not very usable information, but it is going to be really hard for them to do, for them to stand there, keep their hands by their side. It may be easier for them to do because your goal is probably for them to not touch a specific thing or something in an area, is to say, keep your hand on, you know, maybe keep your hand on your cart, keep your hand on my leg, or keep your hand on the wall, right? That might be an easier thing to do. When I'm transitioning with a group of children, I focus on, you know, a lot of times, like, I have them focus on singing a song and doing a motion. Sometimes we'll do, like, row, row, row your boat as we go through the hall. And the focus is for them to do the motions that I'm doing. I'm modeling it for them. I'm singing a song, and it's me meeting them where they're at. Because if we're transitioning for a long period of time, there's a bunch of things going by, they're going to get distracted, look to the left, look to the right, they're going to see a bunch of stuff. Instead of saying, you know, don't touch that, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, don't touch your friends, I'm just saying, focus on, you know, singing the song, rowing our boat, and you do it in a fun way, right? Because we can do it in a way where we can all enjoy. It's meeting all of our needs, right? They're going to be more successful, and also going to be in a better emotional state for all the next things that I'm probably going to expect them to do. Because when I transition them from point A to point B, usually there's even more instructions that I need to give them, right? And it is challenging for a child, really anyone, to constantly take instruction after instruction after instruction. So I want to meet them where they're at the very best I can. So I hope you guys really enjoyed this little session on assertiveness, the skill of assertiveness. I think I may go through all the different skills. And again, this isn't even me going through everything I could talk about with the skill of assertiveness. Really, this was focusing on how we as adults can be assertive. I didn't even tap into how to help children be assertive, and what that might look like. But I think that's another episode. Right now, let's just focus on our own growth and how we can be assertive and modeling this for children. And we can talk more. So, and again, last little plug here. And I got to say, maybe in the next episode, I'll tell you the exact date the promo code ends. But it'll definitely end by the end of the year because it's Mr. Chaz 2022. I may be able to get people to get them to extend it. But I know I would very, very much recommend by the end of October to get to order your Building Resilient Conscious Discipline Building Resilient Classroom book. And if you're in a classroom or a teacher, if you're a parent, I would recommend ordering the Easy to Love, Difficult to Discipline book, because that's more focused on parent and parent situations. Same skills, but just different way, just meeting people where they're at, by Dr. Becky Bailey. Use my promo code MrChaz2022 to get free shipping. Yeah, and that's it. Don't forget, Elevate is October 12th. To the 15th, I will be there, so you can meet me. I very much encourage, especially teachers. This really isn't a conference for parents. Could a parent come and get a lot of value out of it? Yes, but I would recommend. I think you could better spend your time and money elsewhere. Really just focused on getting the book is what I would do right now, and I'll let you know when there's a conference that's focused on parents. There are some coming up, but I just got to get my stuff. Maybe the next episode, I will tell parents where what are some good conferences to go to. And that's the end of the episode. I know it was a little different. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you got a lot out of it. Please give me feedback. Leave a review. Message me on Instagram. Let me know what you think about this format, about this podcast episode specifically. What specifically helped you? What helped you the most? What did you feel like wasn't helpful? What do you still have questions about? Let me know. It always informs the content that I put out later. So it's the end of the episode. Have a great day. This is Mr. Chaz signing out, reminding you to be empathetic and to be an improvist, not a perfectionist. The goal isn't to be perfect every day. The goal is to improve a little every day. Bye.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?